You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Welcome back to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. And ever since the first day I saw this guy put on a Real Madrid uniform, man, all I wanted to do was bring him onto my podcast. I was thinking, you know, maybe next season I might find some room for him. You never expected he was going to make such a big splash so soon and so early in the season. So I called my boys at EuroLeague and I said, hey, I need me another Frenchman on the show, man. Let's get this. What's his name? Yabusele guy. Let's get him on. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the crossover, Gershon Yabusele. What's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing great. How about you?
Hey, I told you before, I'm not doing as good as you, but I'm trying. I'm trying hard. You're killing it, man. You're having a great season.
So far it's been pretty good. Cannot complain at all. I'm just having a great time in here in Madrid, enjoying every moment on the court with my teammates. And for sure, we have a good result, so we're pretty happy about the season so far.
The introduction is like the absolute truth too, but I'm not BSing you at all. I said when this whole podcast adventure started about 3-4 years ago, I have people, even like a couple of people on your team. I might even say one of your coaches' names, but I don't want to throw it out there too much. Like turning me away, like, nah, man, I don't have time for that. It's too long. And ever since then, I've got agents. You know, about a year and some change in, I got agents, players, even some of the coaches calling me going, hey, man, when am I going to get on this damn podcast, man? When am I going to get on the crossover? So I gave you like a fast track pass at the airport. You know what I mean?
Hey, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, I heard so many like different nicknames for you. And of course, the one everybody knows is the Dancing Bear one. And I got, when I'm doing the games, when I'm on the sideline doing y'all's games at home, I always have my producer in my ear, Chris Littleford. He's like, the Dancing Bear. I'm like, nah, man, that's not official yet. I'm not ready to call him the Dancing Bear until I get permission, man. Because I don't see it that many places. I know it came from Boston, but we have to make it official today. Is it the Dancing Bear? You got another nickname? You got like an American nickname and a European nickname? What's the deal?
So it's like, it's really different because I feel like it's really like how people feel. You know, some people call me Dancing Bear. Some people call me Yabu in Spain most of the time. Or some people call me Le Beer. It's like, you know, a little French too. So, you know, for me, it doesn't matter. It's really, you know, how you feel. But I say Bear, Dancing Bear or Yabu, it's fine. It's fine with me.
All right. So I'm not going to get yelled at by using like any, you know.
No, you're going to be okay.
All right. Because, you know, I commentate on most of your home games, but I did miss one this year, and it was against Panathinaikos because I had an event in Greece.
Okay.
And the guy who took over for me said something about you using your big booty to get position down low. Did you see that? That kind of went viral for a minute.
So I didn't heard of it because obviously I was in the game, but I had a lot of friends sending me it like on Instagram, and I was like, yo, what's going on? And so many friends was like, did you know the guy? And I was like, no, like, you know, I just say it, but whatever, you know. But I was surprised at first, but it turned to be funny.
You want to know the funniest part about that story? You know who the guy is that commentated that game who called you Big Booty?
No.
The same guy who asked you the questions for the EuroLeague. It's my son.
Yes?
Yeah, that's my son, Dane. So next home game, when he comes up and gives you an interview, you know.
Yeah, I will talk to him.
Yeah, you can talk to him straight up and make sure that he knows what the deal is.
No problem.
Hey, before we get started with your life story a little bit, I just want to congratulate you on signing the new contract, man.
Thank you.
I mean, there's no doubt you deserve it, and I thought it was a no-brainer by Real Madrid to make sure you at least stick around for a little while.
Thank you so much. I was pretty excited about the news, you know, when my agent called me, because of course, like I said before, I feel so good in here. You know, I'm having fun and, you know, enjoying every game. Even practice, you know, so it's a big structure here. So to be part of this big team, this big history team, It's something that I will never take it for granted.
We're going to get into a little bit more later, but it's so difficult, man, for a guy to come in so new and do what you're doing. I've seen so many people come in from other teams that have played well that have just not been able to fit in or find their place. But you've looked comfortable from day one, which is great.
Thank you, man.
Tell me, you know this is about you, so I want to know a little bit about your folks, man. They came from the Republic of Congo, right?
Yes.
Right to France?
My dad came to France before my mama. Okay. And she came 2 or 3 years after him, was my big sister.
But they were already together, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were. But my dad was the first one to come to France with some of my uncle. They came in France in next to Paris, you know, in Dreux. My city, and then my family came, my cousins, my sisters, and a bunch of other people, so yeah.
And he was a boxer when you were growing up, right?
Yep. That's, yes.
It's so crazy, because my old man wasn't, but my uncle was, who was my godfather. Yep. And yeah, I'm talking about like way back in the days now, but it was, when I heard that, I was like, the first time I heard that was when I was doing a game of yours. I was like, man, the boxing thing is so cool. How far did your dad go? How far did he get?
I say it was playing pro. He did a little bit here in France, but in Congo he was doing pro, and after that he became a coach, and he was training all of the people from my city just for free. You know, coming at the gym, and he was bringing a bunch of people just to train them at how to fight and stuff like that.
The assumption for us from the outside is the physicality of boxing. You know, if you grew up boxing a little bit with you said, and the physicality is an advantage when you're playing, because you play a physical game because you do have the big body. But the footwork has got to be also an important part of all that, right?
Yes, it is. It is. And I thank my dad every day, you know, because this helped me even today, again, you know, with my foot. Right. And that was one of the reason why in Boston they call me the dancing bear, because you know there was like he's like a bear, and he moves so fit with his foot, you know. So for sure, this helped me a lot. And even sometimes in the summer I'm really trying to keep on training boxing skills, you know, because of the footsteps. And I know this helped me a lot, you know, with my weight and my body, you know. So for sure, this is a big part.
That's interesting. I was going to ask you if you still continue or not to do the boxing drills and stuff. What kind of things do you do? Like footwork, shuffle work? Are you punching the bag too, or?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty much it all, because
you're not going one on one though, right? You're not getting hit.
No, never, never. But it's one thing that I really like about like a boxing training is the whole thing. Like, you know, you work your whole body, the core, the strength, when you punch the bag, you know, you work on a lot of part of your body, your arms, you know, it's really your whole body that's working. So it's really something that I try to keep on doing during the season. Obviously it's difficult because we have so many games, but when I have a time off, I really like to train.
But it was your dad that pushed you away from boxing, from what I understand.
It didn't push me away. One thing is we were always doing boxing. And but I wanted to be a soccer player.
Man, just like everybody, man. All you European guys, man, want to make the big money.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's really how we grew up. You go to school, you play soccer, you go out with your friends, it's soccer everywhere, you know? So for sure, I always wanted to be a soccer player. And then my dad was telling me, you're too tall. Like, you're not going to be a soccer player. It's impossible, so.
He probably thought you weren't going to be a boxer either, being that tall.
Probably. But then he was one of the coaches that was training us. That told me, like, you should try basketball, because he was playing pro in the basketball team in my city. Then when I tried and I was pretty good, then they called my dad. They was like, I really think, you know, you can do something. And then going from there, I just fell in love with the game and keep on going to practice. And I just like the whole vibes. The style was so different, and it just fit me well.
Was it an uncomfortable transition for you from boxing to basketball, from football to basketball, whatever? Or was it like you picked it up right off the bat and just had that talent?
So at first, I would say soccer to basketball, because I didn't like want to listen that I was not going to be a soccer player. It was really hard for me. I was watching my friends playing every day. I was like, oh, man, I want to be part of it, you know. They're going to practice together and stuff. And then after that, as soon as, like, we play games and stuff, with basketball, then I was like, oh man, I don't want to play soccer no more. Now I want to be a basketball player. That transition just took like a couple of weeks, but then after that, I was just fine.
It's an addicting sport once you get into it, man.
It is, really. Like, even like, you know, sometimes when you get like so much times off, summer and stuff like that, I stay home and I'm looking at my family and I'm like, oh, I want to play right now. Like, I miss it. Like, I hate just staying in the house and just walk around days after days. Like, I want to play.
That's usually how you feel the first month after the season's over. You don't feel like you miss it that much. But if you're around your family for 3 months straight, you're like, after 2 months, you're
like, get me on the court.
Come on, man. I've been there, done that. Those 2 hours that you hate to go to practice sure feel good sometimes, don't they?
True. 100%.
What I've missed in my research is how you got from this coach telling you to go play basketball, give basketball a shot, to the first time you signed for your first season. Like, what was the process in between there? I mean, did you have goals? Did you have like dreams?
At first, not really. Starting playing basketball, all I was thinking, it was just, you know, going on the court with my friend and having fun, you know, meeting new people, just try to learn some stuff. You know, I never really take that serious until I was maybe 16, 15. Right. And at this point, you know, growing up, watching a lot of NBA, of course you dream about the NBA, but it's not something that you have in your mind, telling yourself, oh, I'm going to make everything to go there. You know, you're just looking. Right. It's like, oh, I hope one day, you know.
And then we all think that no matter what.
Exactly. Like, always. So yeah. For sure, like when I was like 18, 19, and I signed in the Pro A team in Rouen, and then I heard like scouts was coming to see me. Scout was talking about me and stuff like that. Then this, you know, clicked in my head. Then I was like, oh, I might have something. And, you know, people calling me every day and telling me like, listen, just stay focused. Don't, you know, over pressure. Play like you always do. Have fun, go. And then what happened. And if you don't, it's okay. You know, you always play what you love to do. So for sure, going through that, and then, you know, of course, after the draft and everything, it made it, like, wholesome.
That's the funny thing about it is when people tell you, like, hey, this is what's happening. Don't feel any pressure. Don't think about it. Just play. You can't help but to think, you know what I mean?
They put more pressure saying that.
Exactly.
Because, like, you was like, okay, I got to stay natural, but at the same time, you don't act natural. So it's like, it's kind of between, especially when you're young. Like, yeah. You always get that over pressure for sure.
Yeah, your mind, you can't close your eyes at night without thinking like someone was at the game today. Or if I had a bad game, a scout might have been there.
True.
Usually it's if I had a bad game, there was 3 scouts there. And if I had a good game, there were no scouts there.
There was nobody. True.
But you got drafted. There's 4 players in 2016 that got drafted from France, right?
From France, yeah.
Who were the other 3? Name them.
Timothée Luau, Isaiah Cordinier, and Peter Cornelli.
All right. Well, you don't get points for that one.
That was an easy one. Those are my guys, so for sure.
Your test comes at the end, but you were the first one. Did you expect to be the first one?
No. So the whole thing, how it goes, I was supposed to be late first round, beginning of second, you know, more of the late first round. My friend Timothy was supposed to be 14 from Denver, I think. And you know, we had the draft, so me and my agent, because, you know, you have a little pressure. So at the after the 14th pick, we went to the bathroom.
You were in New York for the draft?
Yeah, I was there. Okay. I was there for sure. Like, I felt like this is like a big moment. You know, even if I don't get draft, you know, just to have the feelings to be there, right, to enjoy it, I feel like it's an experience, you know. So we went to the bathroom. Coming back, it was like the 15th picks. And I text my friend because I still see him sitting. And, you know, I was talking to him like, what's going on? But he didn't know. And at the draft, it's something that you don't see on the TV. But at the draft, they come a little bit before the pick with the cameras. Okay. So you kind of know who's going to be the next pick, right?
But y'all were sitting together, weren't you, or no?
No, I was a little bit up in the stand because, like I told you, I was supposed to be like in the first round. And then we saw the cameras and they look at us and my agent goes, is it for Yabusele? And it was like, yes. So we think, and then it was like, is it for Gershon? It was like, yeah. And it was like you want me to show you the paper? And then they looked and they see my name. And then, like, we just go, like, woof. Because, like, we were surprised. Like, Boston didn't tell nobody at all that they was going to draft me. So, for me, it was really, like, the best moment. Like, now my mom is crying. Like, you know, she can't help it. Like, it's, like, so much pressure going into my body. Then I'm walking, I'm shaking, I'm going with the hat. And then after that, you know, it was just amazing.
When was the moment where you were maybe by yourself or maybe out to dinner with someone, you just like get it, you're like, damn, I just got a job. I can't, what the hell? where did this come from?
It took me like 2 months, really, just to tell myself, okay, now you're there. Because, you know, after the draft, we went to dinner. Then my friend Timothy and Zaya was there with the family, same dinner, same restaurant. For some reason.
Oh, so you had to pay too, right?
That was the money coming right now. So I had to take care of everybody.
Hey, man, you go first. You got to pay.
But yeah, so after that, we were all at the same restaurant looking at each other like, wow. Like, we just did something today. You know, it was just crazy. We went back. I couldn't sleep. And, you know, you had to fly the next day to the city to do the interview and stuff. And I'm seeing the other players, and then everybody's just so happy, and it's just a moment that you keep in you, like, for your whole life, you know. It was just amazing. It's something that I would never felt again, you know. It was just crazy.
It's always a good feeling, because I got drafted. I went, and we did the rookie thing first and everything else. Then when you made the team, it's like that first day where all the vets get in. It's like a whole different – it's like, once again, you just went from college to the NBA again.
It's an amazing feeling, because it's like – I was just watching you guys on TV, then now I'm part of the team. And then you got to learn quick. You're rookie. You got all this stuff. And, you know, you just, like, for me, I had, like, Al Horford in front of me and all these guys. Like, I'm you know, in myself, I'm like, I'm trying to learn so much from you guys. You guys are just so great as a player. So, for sure, it's been great.
Until you start getting that confidence where you're like, damn, I can play with these guys, man.
I can't play with, like, exactly. Like, once you score 1-2 times and then you do a couple of good action, you'll be like, oh, wow, yeah. I can be part of this team. Exactly. I can be the guy, too. So, for sure.
It's a strange feeling when you're kind of like that, when you're not that heavy number one draft pick, and, you know, for sure you're going to play in the NBA and you're going to start off the bat. It's a strange feeling when you get that, like, shit, man, I can do this.
True. It's a great feeling. Once you feel that and then you have this confidence, then you know you got to keep it every day. Exactly. And you just got to work and try to get better even though you can play there.
The thing I always talk about is, and I even do this when I speak to kids nowadays and whatever, is that dream, you know, that the athletic dream you have, whether it's a boxer, a baseball player, whatever. Of making it, the dream of making it, but none of us, when we have that dream, realize the reality afterwards. It took me 3 months to get cut. You went back and forth between Maine and the G League and Boston, and it never really, like, that dream never really fulfilled itself. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, for sure.
How does that? Because I kind of went through the same thing. You went through it over a couple year period. How does that hurt your confidence, you know, that you've developed through that time?
I'm not gonna lie, it was probably some of the toughest day of my life, you know, playing basketball. I never been in this situation. I always been on the team, and then, you know, I play some minute, do some mistake, you know, learn, score, you know, pass, you know, whatever. But I never been in this situation to play 0 minutes. It's like you're just on the bench and you don't play. Right. And it's just, okay, you go home and then, you know, you got so much energy. Like me, you can tell, you know, I'm an energy guy. Like, I love just to give my energy, just to go everywhere, you know. So for me, I'm going home and I just can't sleep because I have this much energy that I didn't, you know, spend on the court. So I'm like, okay, next game is going to be good. And then second game, you play 0 minute. And then third game, 0 minute. And then you go like 10 games straight, you know. So you start thinking like, yo, like, how is it going to be like for the whole season, you know? So for sure, you're doubting yourself a little bit, confidence a little bit down, but you still try to go to the gym and work, you know. And then you get a little bit of garbage time. Then you go to Maine to play a couple of minutes so you stay in shape and stuff like that. But It was just really hard.
Hey, man, the hardest thing for me was I gained like 4 or 5 kilos, man, when I was, because I'm like, all right, I'm on an NBA team. I must be in shape. We hardly practiced once the season started. I balled out one day in Denver, scored 17 points, and the coach is like, man, we're going with the rookies. We're going with the rookies. Wait, and 8 games later against the Lakers and Magic Johnson, he takes me off the bench. He's like, go ahead, bro. I'm like, dude, I haven't played in 8 games. I'm overweight.
So this is one thing that everybody was telling me, and it was hard for me to get it, but it's really how it works. Like, you don't play for 10 games, but the 11th game, then you come to the gym, you know, telling yourself, okay, I'm not going to play again. And coach is like, get ready, you're starting today. And you're like, what? Okay, so now you start see the physio, and it's like, let's stretch, let's do this, and you just try to get ready. But it's really how it is, you know. You never really know when he's gonna put you on the court, and this is like another feeling that is hard to fit, because you just practice sometimes and you don't play for a long time. Once you think it's like, okay, I'm not gonna play, and then boom, he puts you on the court. So it's really one thing that they always say over there is stay ready.
And it's strange because it's not like it is here. A lot of people don't get this. It's not like it is here where every day y'all are practicing together, yeah, and doing things. Like in the NBA, at least when I was there, it was like you had a game tomorrow, you did a walkthrough. So you never really even when he calls you after the 13th game, I haven't played with these guys in a month and a half.
This is really like a thing over there because, like you said, we practice 10, 15 minutes. You know, we just walk through and goes. And the guys that don't play too much do like 2-on-2, 3-on-3. But it's hard to stay in shape just playing 2-on-2, you know, 1-on-1 and stuff like that. So for sure, it's one thing that I was doing my second year, because the first year, you know, I was kind of learning. But I was doing a lot of conditioning by myself, you know, just going to the gym, kind of like every day. Even after hours, you know, coming at night, I was bringing my trainer there, stay 2 weeks, leaving, coming back, you know, just to try to stay in shape.
Best and worst experience of the NBA?
I say probably playing with, you know, some of the best players. Be around Kyrie, Al Horford, you know, all these big guys, seeing Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. At the beginning, you know, how they start, how they are right now, you know, all this process, how to come and be prepared for a game and all this stuff. I feel like all this part made me a better player for sure, even though I didn't play and stuff like that. And I said the worst, it probably not being there and not be able to really enjoy it, you know, really play, to have a role on the team, to show what I can do, you know, and help a team, you know, so... This is probably what I say.
You spent some time there, that time in China also. What was that? I mean, you were 20 when you went over there, yeah, right? Man, that's young to be alone in China.
Yeah, it was. And it was really one thing that my mom was pretty much scared of, you know, because it's another country, another culture, you're going to be far. Also, one thing is to communicate with the people outside of China, it's also complicated.
Isn't it crazy that one time I was over, like, no one speaks English?
And it's really, like, rare that you see somebody speak English over there. So me, I was just with my phone calling the translator every time. I go to a restaurant, I call him, put him on the phone. If I go to a taxi, call him, put him on the phone. It's just like, I was just going with my phone everywhere, pretty much. But as far as experience, I loved it. I loved it. It was that make me a bigger person, I say, like, you know, as far as like my mind, as far as like growing up, like, you know, I become a man leaving China, you know, I was ready for everything, you know, being there 7 months and, you know, 1 month, maybe not 2 weeks, my family was there. And, you know, the other year I was by myself, you know.
Those experiences, you either grow quick or you don't, one or the other.
Yeah, true.
If you don't grow quick, it's never going to work for you. Then you went back to Boston, and you had a good summer league, and were you expected more again the next time, or?
For sure. For sure. But like I was saying, like, living from China, I was playing, like, almost the whole game. Had right. The bone in my hand. I was the playmaker.
Yeah, but dude, come on now. I've talked to a bunch of players that went over to China. It's pretty...
No, it's... So... This is a thing.
It's an easy life, man. Come on.
No, this is a thing, and I said that before. It's a lot of guys that used to score in Europe or in America, and they go to China and they can't score.
Come on.
It's the truth. It's a lot of guys that go to China and get cut because they don't score a lot. And it's one
thing. Well, you have to score a lot to be over there. Yeah.
And it's like you got to adjust. It's not just the league that you go. It's like, okay, I'm going to score 40 every game, and you score 40. Because the Chinese, they have their play, they wear to play basketball. You know, it's kind of hard to go to the basketball. And you go over there, you might get, you know, heat in the face, heat somewhere, and you don't want to go back to the rim no more. You know, it's you got to adjust and be smart too. But it's not, I won't say like it's easy compared to the other leagues, but they got their way to play. They got their style of playing basketball. It's pretty much different.
Right. I'm going to call you Yabu from now on. I just figured Yabu is going to be your name for me. Right?
Yabu's not bad.
Yeah. So Yabu, you got to understand, man, like when I was over here in Spain playing, everybody talks about the fact that I played no defense. It's like this thing that goes around, like, you never played no defense, or I played defense. I'm like, shit, but when I played, if I didn't score 25, if I scored 12 points and shut down every other player on the team, I would have been cut.
Right.
I would have been sent home. So it's like, I'm like, why y'all want me to play defense? Like, I'm playing the China rules, man. I need to score 25 a game to keep my job.
Oh, my God.
You would have probably been better off playing back in my day.
Nah, defense is important. I love scoring for sure, but I love defense too.
You can D up. I've watched you. You can D up. If you put your mind to it.
Yeah, it's really one thing, you know, telling myself, I don't want him to score on me. I don't want him to score. Right. Like, you know, it's just like kind of like a game, I say, game of, you know, one-on-one. Like, I don't want you to score on me. And if you score, you're not going to score again. You know, it's really like a mindset that I'm trying to get every game, not letting, you know, my opponent score on me.
Who's the guy in the year league you like, when you see on your schedule, you're like, oh, shit, here he comes, man. I got to play against him tonight.
Nobody.
Nobody.
I got my confidence really high. And when I goes to the game, I tell myself I'm going to give them problem, but I don't want y'all to give me problem.
All right. Well, we all got one where we're like, all right, man, I got to have my A game tonight, man. I know you got to bring your A game every night, but there's some days you got to bring your A-plus game.
I know for sure. If we play Barcelona, this is a game I need an A++. This is a game we got to win, especially in Miritich.
Oh, hey, I want to bring it up in front of everybody. He got you the last game.
Hey, he did. You know, I'm honest. You know, I felt the same way. I was like, okay, you got the first one. It's still going to be a lot of games left, and we're going to see him again. Go. For sure.
It's always good to win the first one, but it's better to win the last one.
It is.
Hey, man, there's a lot of talk about, you're trimmed up now, but there's a lot of talk before about your weight and everything else. And they say you were maybe too big to defend in the league. That was part of the issue in Boston. Was that a problem for you personally? And how have you been able to control that?
Not really, because over there, It's one thing, and I think it's a lot of people's like that too, but once you get weight, sometimes, like, you don't see it yourself, you know? And at the time, I wasn't really seeing it. And now, when I watch the videos from back in the day, I was like, I was fat.
Hey, I watched the video of you, like, when you first got there, and I can't remember the two people that were doing the interview with you. It was like an 8-9 minute interview. You know, I do my research now. And I saw you sitting down, man. I was like, there's no way he could play basketball.
I was just getting weight. And one thing that was hard too is because, you know, lack of playing and the food over there is different. You know, so over there, you really need to get a chef. You need to get everything clean, you know, with the food, because you get weight like quick. You go to dinner like 2 times and then you got 2 kilos already.
Get those chicken wings, man.
Yes. And me, I love foods.
Get those buffalo chicken wings. They'll fatten you up in no time.
I was getting everything, the steak every night, every time. So, you know, I got weight. But I think it's more easy to control right now because obviously I'm playing. I'm playing a lot of minutes too. So, it's easier. And of course here, I got a chef also to control everything I'm eating. And, you know, I'm taking more of, taking care of my body for sure.
Y'all just got so much more than when we played, man. Y'all got chefs and
it's, like, it's different.
Like trainers and masseuses, and y'all travel on private planes. I'm like, damn.
For sure. It's way better now.
And on top of it, y'all play like 16 minutes a game. I was, you know, we were playing like 40 minutes a game when it was my turn, you know? And playing on those hard-ass floors and everything. Hey, I jumped on you a little bit about your weight right here, but I was checking out your Instagram page yesterday, and you got one picture where you're on a boat, I think it was. You're holding up.
Yes.
Like, and I don't know if it's a 4-pack or a 6-pack. I don't know what it is. But you were showing those abs proud, brother.
Hey, I was just letting people know, don't worry about me. I'm controlling everything, and my weight is good. Don't worry.
That's hilarious. When I was going there, most of your pictures and most of your stuff is like game stuff or whatever. And I saw that one picture, and I said, that one must have been directed right towards Boston.
Hey, just so people can know, I'm taking care of myself, and hey, my body weight is good.
When you came back from the States, from China and all that, before you went to Asvel, there was some time in between but before you played for them. What were you doing there? Were you just preparing, just getting ready?
Just getting ready. I feel like since the situation with Boston, it make me like more of like a hard worker. Like I work every time and I'm enjoying doing it. So basically during that time, I was practicing every day, going to the gym, you know, calling my agency if it was like any offer or stuff. But I was like, don't worry, I'm gonna stay prepared. I'm gonna stay prepared. And if a team calls me, like they're gonna be surprised how much energy, how much ready I was. I always think this is a good part, just to stay ready so you don't have to get ready, you know? So I would just keep on working every day.
You know, as athletes would train, y'all are trained to just go. But we have a tendency also to be lazy on the outside. Yeah. There's a lot of players that are in your position, have been in your position, I'm sure you probably play with them, that are just like, hey man, I'm just sitting back on this bench making money. I could care. You know what I mean? No, nobody really realizes how difficult it is through those times to keep not only your body ready, but your mind. That's the hardest thing, I think, of all of it. What was the most difficult part for you, just being to be prepared?
It's like not knowing, you know, until when you're going to have to stay prepared and work, you know, because I never been in this situation. I always, you know, be on one team for the season, finish the season. Another team were coming back. Like, I never been during the season, no clubs, you know? So it was a different situation for me. But it's one thing. I love the process. I love working. I love learning new stuff, working with the trainers, you know, coach in the summer and stuff like that. I just love it. And for me, I bring one of the coach, a good guy that I know from the state. He came straight to Paris with us and he just helped me. And we were just practicing every day. I have the same trainer that was with me and training every day. So I won't say it was a part that was a little bit difficult, but the most difficult part was probably just not knowing if you're going to stay like this for 2 months, 3 months, if I'm not going to play the whole season. You know, this was a little bit hard because, of course, if you don't have no club, you don't get no money too. This was the only part. But in my head, I knew that I gotta stay ready, and then the club's gonna come soon. You know, just don't worry about when, just work.
Tell me one thing, for if any young kids are watching this, because I love to work with young kids, and I think, you know, as we athletes grow, we always look back a little bit. If I'm a young kid, let's say I'm 15, 16, or I'm 14, and I wanna be Yabo, I wanna be Yabo Selly. I don't have a trainer to work with me. You know what I mean? I don't have someone to come out with me every day. Like, how often do you now, or how often did you before, just go out by yourself and just shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot like all day long?
Exactly. This is also one thing, because the trainer, I started doing this, I probably say like 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. Right. Before that, it was just me either going with the friend or either going by myself. And like you said, like at age 15, I was going to the gym by myself and stay 1 hour and a half, 2 hours. And in my head, that's how I loved the game so much. I was just going. I take the ball, going from the best line to the other best line. And in my head, I'm like, oh, 15 seconds left. And, you know, try to play the game winner. And then just, you know, enjoying doing everything, playing, dribbling, shooting. And just this make me want to go to the gym more and more. Just once you love being in the gym, even by yourself, like you won already. Like you said, some athletes sometimes we get lazy, but once you love going to the gym even by yourself, you already passed that point. So it's like you just love to go over there and work.
I used to spend hours, man, pretending like I was Julius Erving and I was playing
exactly.
And I was playing the Celtics in the finals. Down one, sure. 10 seconds left, missed the shot. No, he got fouled. He's got to go to the line and hit two.
Exactly. That's how it goes. Like you got the little like scenario, and then you just play with it. And that's it. I say just go to the gym, shoot, even if it's by yourself. You know, sometimes it's especially when you're 15. In my case, I'm talking to one of my friends. Can you? He was like, oh, okay, but I gotta see my girlfriend, so I don't know. At this age,
I got a birthday party tomorrow.
I got this, I got that, and then you just go by yourself. Okay, that's how you really know that I really want that. You know,
I like to let kids know that because a lot of kids just think like, well, I practice 2 hours a day. Practice ain't nothing. Practice is to develop a team. It's really not develop your personal skills.
Nope.
You learn so much more on your own.
Exactly.
You know, spending, like you said, that hour and a half, 2 hours, or just sitting there shooting 1,000 free throws or, you know, whatever. But
yeah, just the free throws, just, you know, working on some stuff that, you know, you're not good and you can, you know, do better. The dribble. Nobody's going to tell you, I'll go over there and do the dribble. Go by yourself, work the dribble. If you see that your shot is not really, you know, efficient, just go work on your free throw, work on your form. You know, it's so much thing to do at the gym when you're by yourself. It's amazing.
So you came back from all this and bam, just jumped right into Asheville.
Yeah.
And jumped right into the EuroLeague.
Yes.
Played a couple games your first season because you got in late.
Mm-hmm.
And then played 2020-21.
I said 2021, yeah.
In Asheville, the entire season. What was it like just to jump right back into EuroLeague? I mean, because it's a whole different competition now. I mean, it's not NBA, it's not China. I don't want anybody to get mad at me. I'm not going to say it's better, it's worse. But you have to bring your A game every night. I mean, there's not a night where you can't play a good game because you just can't lose.
For sure. So for me coming in Asheville and play EuroLeague, because I never played EuroLeague before. So, for sure, I knew the French league. So, coming over there and playing the French league and having good game, first of all, my confidence was, I was feeling good. Like I told you, like I was prepared already. So, when I played that first game of the EuroLeague, I think it was against Valencia, I wasn't really like stressing or putting pressure on me. I was like, let's go. You know what? Play your game and you will see during the game how it goes. What can you adjust? And what can you do better? And the coach was Mitrovic. And it's one thing with him is the defense. And when I got there, I was playing with so much energy on defense and just try, you know, help the team that he led me on the court. And then after that, playing the first game, I was just learning, okay, this, I can do that. Okay, they leave me open. Let me just take my shot and just, you know, going from there. And that's how I really play with the EuroLeague. But it's so competitive. Like you say, every night, every game, you got to come and perform.
You put up decent numbers, without a doubt, in Asheville. And obviously, you drew the attention of a lot. I'm sure more teams than just Real Madrid. They're probably chasing you down. But you traveled all over the world, essentially, U.S., China, whatever. You finally get back to your country, and you're playing in the EuroLeague. And you decide to get up and go. First of all, what Tony Parker have to say to you? I read an article where he said, hey, man, good job. Man, I don't believe that. You can't come in and BS me on my own show, man. Tell me what Tony really said to you.
Really? Really? He really came to me and told me, hey, I'm really proud of you. It's really what we talked about, you know, about Asheville, try to be like a transition for you to bounce back and go where you
want to
go.
But he didn't want you going to Real Madrid. Go back to Boston or something.
When the offer came, him, his brother, TJ Parker, and some of the assistant coach, they were so happy, like, for me. They were so proud. They were so happy. They was like, listen, like, this is, you deserve it. It was like, you worked so much for this. You came back. You know, they didn't really know how it will go. And it would, like, you just, like, you should just be happy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were really just happy about me. And it was like, listen, you give everything for us. Like, we appreciate you coming in here, being serious, and really take this serious, you know? And they were just happy for me to go, you know, for sure.
Like I say, you kind of been kicked around. Boston, China, back and forth, G League, here and there. What was your mentality when you signed a one-year deal? Well, I mean, were you like, God, I got to... Because you, like... You got to give your best in a one-year deal. A guy signs a five-year deal, he usually relaxes the first couple of years.
Yeah.
A one-year deal, I mean, you got to have the mentality, but there's a lot of that pressure in the back of your mind going, man, I got 1 year to show my worth.
Yeah, true. So I'd say it was a pressure, but like a good pressure. Because it's like a pressure that you have and you go to every day telling you, you know, for sure you got 1 year, but it's also a good pressure that make you want to work, make you want to go over there and kill it, you know, make you want to go over there and don't think, you know, you don't have 10 years to get prepared. You got just 1 year. So go over there, don't think, play your best game and just try to get better even every game. You know, that was really this type of pressure that I have. And it was feeling good. You know, it was really something that I enjoy.
I live down the road from here, close by. So I'm in Madrid also. This city makes it a lot easier too, doesn't it?
It is. That's what I'm saying. Like, I never been to Madrid, never came here or, you know, had the feeling to really be in the city. And it's so beautiful. They have so much thing to do. Even like as far as like just restaurant. Like, they got everything. Of course, I don't go to dinner every time because, of course, I'm going to start getting weight again. But when I do,
if you go to dinner every night, you better fire your chef.
Exactly. Especially him. Like, I'm paying him just to make food. So if I go out, it's a problem. But, you know, sometimes on the weekend or you know, with some of the teammates too. Like, you know, we having dinner here and there, you know, so for sure. Madrid is it's a beautiful city.
All you French guys, man, the whole team is, it's like the French national team.
It was so funny when we had the national team and we talking about Madrid and going there. I was like, oh, wow. I forgot that y'all two going to be with me over there too. So, yeah, having four French people on the team, I think it's the first time something like this happened in the club, I think.
It's got to be the first time in Spain, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the first time. But it's just, it feels good. And we're having so much fun here. And I think we're doing great so far, you know.
All you guys, I was with Poirier one night too, man, just hanging with him. And I get along real well with Fab and with Lucy. And all you guys have the same person account. I think y'all work with my boy from Bespoke.
Guillermo. Oh, yeah.
You know Willie, right?
Exactly. This is the man in charge in here, you know, making us try new stuff, of course, visiting stuff and all the stuff around Spain, but also like in Madrid. Like he's so connected. It's good to have his contact and just to go around for sure.
I'll let him know, man. He's always calling me. I'm like, man, call the guys that are playing. I don't have that kind of money anymore. I wanna go back to the what I said earlier is I'm amazed at the way you fit in. I know Ertel's playing well and Vince Waugh's playing well and the new guys, a lot of the new guys are playing well. And I think that's always had a lot to do with the base that Real Madrid has had. But even over the years, I've been here for, 10, 11 years now, commentating about 6 or 7. I've never seen anybody just kind of like, boom, fit in so well so quickly like you have. Is it because of the French guys on a team? Is it because of the way you're accepted by other people? You're definitely accepted. You got the perfect game for the fans. Fans love your game. It's all about energy. And you feed off the fans too, which is what I did when I played.
True.
So what do you think is the key to your comfort level on the floor with all these new guys around you?
I'd probably say, like, everything that you name. You know, having French people, of course, make it easier. Having fans pushing you, of course, it make it easier, and all the guys in here make it easier for me too. The other Spanish guy, even this summer, you know, when we were in the Olympic and stuff like that, then we see some of the Spanish guys. It was already like coming to me. Oh, you coming to Madrid? Okay, yeah, good luck. You know, we're gonna see each other. Like, you can tell that they're just nice people, and on our team, you can tell that we have a good chemistry because everybody kind of understand everybody. So it make it easier for me on the court to be more relaxed. No pressure, you know, I just enjoy. And of course, you know, it was one thing that I was thinking this summer when I was working out and stuff. It was just to come in there and fit. Just try to fit. Not try to do too much. Not try to, you know, go crazy. Just think about myself. Just think about the team. Just try to fit. Play with a lot of energy and see how the game goes. And it's been pretty great so far, having a good relationship with everybody, with the coaches, everybody from the staff and everybody that works here. So for sure, everything is for me to play my best on the court.
That's perfect, man. It's definitely working out for you. You just signed that new deal, and I think all the Madrid fans are excited about it, to have you around for a little while. And on top of it, you signed the deal, you know, in a position where you got some good players running around, Trey Tompkins, Anthony Randolph, anything else. But does you signing that deal, I'm put you on the spot now, does that mean the NBA's out?
I'd say I mean, everything can happen, you know, for sure.
There's that politically correct player answer, man. That's, come on.
No, like I would say, like, of course, I signed here 3 years, so in my mind, you know, I'm feel good in here. I feel great. Situation is the best situation for me here. Now I have a buyout too, you know, so for sure, if a team's want me to go, now I'm gonna have the decision to you know, think, is it a good option? Like, what's the situation gonna be? Am I still gonna be like Boston? Like why would I leave playing here and then having a great season and being great and to go back and not playing, you know? So for sure it's different, but I won't say it's out. I'm just gonna say, you know, this is my security. Like, you know, being here, signing the contract for 3 years is great.
Sometimes I've always said this, stability is even more important than money. Because with stability and with being with the same people for a long period of time makes you a better player over, you know, than changing every year. Although, obviously, we see you can fit in just about anywhere. But that stability, I believe, in my mind, it will, you know, makes people a better player than going here and there all the time.
Well, sure. And you know, I had the one-year contract. I could have waited till the end of the season, see how it goes and everything. But with everything that happened in life, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I needed to be, you know, secure, to have a stability for me, for my family, and all the people that I'm having around, you know. So for sure, when this offer came, like, I always said that, and we were talking about it with my agent, it's some offer that you cannot refuse. Signed a 3-year deal with Madrid, of course.
So it's this year plus 3 more, right?
Yes.
Perfect. Perfect. Good for you, man.
Thank you so much.
I got a couple more things before we finish. And of course, I can't finish without talking about the silver medal you probably got sitting at your house. But be honest, that's not the one you wanted, right?
Kind of. No, I won't say that. Because me going to the finals, I'm thinking, hey, let's just shock the world. We can do it. We do it one time. Even if it was not the final, you know, because, of course, they're going to play different than the first game that we won against them. Like, we know they're going to adjust. We know it's going to be a different games. But even when you watch the game, we here. We'll still have a chance till the end, of course. And Kevin Durant played his best game of the whole competition. Yeah. And we still have this feeling that we could have won. We could have won. And, you know, going to 2024 in our head is like, hey, this is not going to happen twice. It's going to be in Paris. Oh, we're coming back from them for sure. So it's still a good feeling being second in the Olympics. I will never thought this of my life. You know, being in Olympic, doing it, you know, watching this since I'm a kid. I will never thought this in my whole life, you know. So being able to be there, come second, but still have a great tournament because we lost only one game, the final. So we went back home having this good feeling still, you know, because it was pretty amazing. Everybody was doubting us, I say. A lot of people was thinking that it was impossible for us to go that far. So we for sure have some new fans now. And basketball in France is getting bigger.
Man, I watched some of the highlights just to kind of prepare myself. I saw the game. I saw a little bit of the game when it was live, and I watched some of the highlights today. And man, it was foul shots that killed y'all in the long run. It was those free throws that you guys missed. That I think you would have put so much more pressure on them if y'all made free throws.
True. We missed a lot of free throws that game.
That was the toughest part to watch right there, man. Because they were nervous. They were nervous.
You can tell. Like, you know, when they were taking timeouts and stuff, we're looking at them like, hey, they're thinking like, what's going on right now? Like, they're playing their best game, like, you know. So, for sure. But we happy that we make them, you know, doubt for a second. Because when you go to Olympics, usually what happened with the American team, they come and beat everybody, go back home, celebrate, and it's over. So, for sure, like, we know this year they came.
Y'all are back there somewhere.
Yes.
I read that Boston Globe said that was a player that the Celtics thought he could be after the Olympics. Does that comment hurt you? I make you laugh or motivate you even more? Obviously, it made you laugh. I just saw that.
I'm laughing every time. You know, it's really nothing that can really, like, make me mad. Like, I'm trying not to get all this stuff to get on me. It's whatever. You know, people you know, it's free. You can think whatever you think. You know, it's you. That doesn't mean it's true. That doesn't mean, you know, it's just you. So for me, bad, good comments, I don't let it, like, affect me.
You married here? You got family here? Or are you here by yourself?
I'm married. I got family, yeah.
You got kids?
Yeah, I got a son.
Oh, you got a son. I couldn't find anywhere. I was like, man, I just got married or what? How old is your son?
It's like 2.
2 years old?
Yeah, I mean, you're about to turn 2 soon.
So you get most of your sleep on the road trips though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And they're here with Madrid. They like Madrid too? They're getting along fine?
They love it. They love it. Everybody love it. My family's here most of the time too. So they come in here. And they just love it. It's just a different feeling. Like, outside right now, it's sunny. It's so different from what I'm used to. So, for sure, it makes, like, everything great.
You know, EuroLeague pays me to do these interviews, man. But after I was, like, doing my research last night and I checked out your clothing line online, my wife is like, I want that. I want this. I want that. I'm like, well, I said, well, hold on a second. I said, this interview is going to cost me more money than I made.
No, yeah, we have the third collection that just came out like a week ago, a couple of days ago.
Before you get into it, let me set it up a little bit, because I was like, all right, well, here's another athlete, you know, with his, with a line, and you know, he's probably got like a sweatshirt that's got his initials on it, some stupid shit like that, you know what I mean, whatever. Man, I went into the website, I was like, whoa, wait, hold on a second. I said, this is the real deal. Yo, no, some of that stuff is bad. I love that stuff.
Thank you so much. I mean, that was a big part that we were trying to agree with the two other friends that I'm working with. We've seen a lot of guys, like you say, like they try to do the lifestyle and stuff, but it's so too much like sportwear. Sometimes it's like, you know, not it. So we try to mix on this, but have something that not, I won't say like luxury, but it's close to it, that you can wear to go out and stuff like that. And we try to keep this with mixed basketball a little bit, to have like a little bit sweater, but that you can wear outside and stuff.
I like that hoodie, man. I like that gray hoodie.
That hoodie is I love it.
I'm going to have to give you my address. Maybe you have to send me one.
For sure. Hey, for sure.
Or just bring one to the game and drop it off to me one day.
This one's going
to
be on me. You send me your size and everything, and I give it to you. No problem.
Hey, man, I'm your size, more or less.
Okay, perfect. I will get you one. But yeah, so we would really try to play around this, and you know, we spend a lot of time thinking, what can we do? First, second collection, third collection, just try to change a little bit to see. But people, like, we have a lot of great backup from the people. Just that we love the textile, we love it, everything. You know, the color that you guys do, the style that you try to do, and we just try to be a little bit different from the other brand.
I'm gonna throw it out here. It's WWWH.
Yeah.
It's hors d'oeuvre, right?
Yeah, hors d'oeuvre, yes.
But it's just a H with the DOEUVRE.com. Y'all check it out, man. If you're listening, check it out, because the clothes are really, really cool.
I got the website also on my Instagram.
Hey, but watch out for that one picture when he's on the boat. I think you put some filters in there. I'm not going to say
no.
It.
No. It's me.
All right, my man. You know it's test time, right?
The crossover test.
I just found out today that Nicola Melli got one of the questions right last week, and we got it wrong. So Nico's like topped out at 100 points. He's like the number one guy over the last 2 seasons. I got 5 questions for you. Each question go from easiest to hardest, 1 through 5. Each question is worth in increments by 10 points. And 1 is worth 10, 2 is worth 20. Right, the 5 is worth 50. So we add up your score and we'll figure it out. You ready?
I'm ready.
You already got the easy one right before about the draft. That was just a
this
warm-up.
One should be 10 points. I'm just saying.
Hey, who is the actual coach of Anadolu Efes Istanbul?
Okay. This is supposed to be easy or?
Yeah, that's the easy one.
I say Ergin Ataman.
There you go. There you go. I was like, man, if he gets this one wrong, we're in trouble. All right. You got 10 points. Number 2 worth 20. Who is the top scorer as of right now today for LDLC Asvel Virvan?
Oof. It's 2 that I'm thinking.
could only guess one, though. You could think both of them out loud, but I'm not gonna give you any hints, because Melly will come here and kick my butt.
I'm for sure thinking about Elio Cobo or Chris Jones, but as right now, I'm trying to think on the team. Yeah, I might say, all right, I'm gonna say Elio Cobo.
Got it.
Oof.
There you go.
I was really like, I didn't know between him and Chris Jones, because I know that they're the top two.
They're right there, yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Ellie, for sure.
That was a little harder than I thought it was going to be right there. All right, number three, worth 30 points. You're at 30 right now. This will give you 60 if you get this. How many EuroLeague Final Fours has Madrid hosted? The city of Madrid. How many EuroLeague Final Fours have they hosted?
So first of all, it's one in 2015. I remember that one.
That's the obvious one.
And they won it. I think I said two.
You got it. Bam, two. The other one was in 2008. EuroLeague Final Four 2008. So that's 60 points. Uh-oh. You might be able to tie Melly right here. You got number four and number five coming. And I got a big problem with this question, but we're gonna ask it anyways. People at EuroLeague are going to have to hear from me. Who is the record for the most points scored in a single EuroLeague game since the year 2000 for Real Madrid?
Oof. I'm thinking of... So, I got to remember who was playing. So, is Sergio Rudy? Oh, Luka Doncic was playing? Yeah. No. I said Luka. No?
Got it, man.
Luka Doncic, right?
You got it. Yep. 40 points, man. That's 100 points right now.
It was, woof, it was killing it here. I remember because the year that I'm in Boston, we're watching him going crazy, Final Four and everything, and I was like, who's this guy? But he's going to come and crush it.
Hey, I read this question. I had to call my boy at EuroLeague, but you know I scored 63 in a EuroLeague game, right?
You did?
Yeah.
Woof.
Yes, I called him up. I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. I said, wait, this ain't right. He said, no, we got to put in since the year 2000. I was like, oh, okay. I said, all right.
63 is a lot of points.
Yeah, like, don't be taking away my game now. You can't be doing that. Hey, but right now, you're at 100 points, so you're good to go. You're right. Tied right now with Melly, from what I understand. So number five is the last one. You might be able to get this. You might be able to go 5 for 5. How many seasons did Nicolas Batum play in the EuroLeague?
Did he play in EuroLeague? I say, oof, I don't remember him playing EuroLeague. That's the thing. I remember watching him playing in French team. I don't think it was in EuroLeague. I said, oof. I don't want to say zero, but I'm thinking. I got the pressure on me. I'm okay. Is it like a trick question, kind of?
You've been handling pressure good. I can't give you any hints, man. And all these guys will get mad at me if I give you hints.
Just because I don't remember him playing EuroLeague, oof, I said zero.
God, answer's three.
Oh my God, which team?
He played 2006 through 2008, two seasons, with Le Mans. And then he played 2011-2012 with SLUC Nancy.
It was during
the lockout.
But I don't remember them being in EuroLeague. That's crazy.
That one got me too. That was the, I thought Le Mans, I didn't know if it was 1 year, 2 years, but the other one got me.
Wow. No, this one was like a tricky question.
That was a trick question. I was like, he's going to say zero. I know he is.
Yeah, because I really don't remember, because I remember the lockout when they came back and they played.
Right.
But I can't remember that those team was... Okay, that was a good one. That was a good one.
All right, my man. Yeah, hey, number one, thank you so much for taking the time to be here on the crossover with me, man. I know you guys got like crazy schedules and you're all over the place. Now it's even crazier with COVID and things getting canceled and you don't know where you are. Yeah. Number two, you're even more than what I expected, like sitting down talking. I love, like before I used to do this, sit down, we'd sit in the same room and talk and I'd really get to know you. But man, your personality is just so outstanding and you people can get the energy from you just with that smile. When I do these interviews, man, I'm always amazed by just the humility of you guys and because... Back in my day, we were different, man. We were all just like, leave me alone. But now it's all access, and you've given it all, man. So Thank you for your generosity, for your time, and of course for your sincerity, man. And I'll be sitting on that. I'll be sitting on that basket, waiting one day for that sweatshirt.
I got you. Hey, I got you. 2XL, I got you.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, Gusan, man. You're a great guest.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck to you and your family here in Madrid.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joao Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.